Good morning and welcome to the Northwest Mo Info Show, where we take you around Northwest Missouri and Southwest Iowa to help you stay up to date on local events and opportunities and also get involved with local groups who are helping make a difference around our region. I'm your host, Rick Turner. Unfortunately, we're getting farther into the flu season and we need to stay vigilant to protect us and others from getting sick. We're going to visit with Bree Bennett from the Harrison County Health Department this morning to get some ideas on how we can avoid the flu and some suggestions on what to do if you feel illness coming on. We'll also be joined later this morning by a couple of students from the Albany High School National Honor Society to discuss their volunteer efforts with the blood drive coming up next week. Along with winter always comes a lot of sickness and the flu. We've already heard all about the flu this year. We're going to welcome Bree Bennett, who is with the Harris County Health Department, to give us some advice about the flu. So thank you for joining us this morning, Bree.
Thanks.
So just give us a little bit of information about how the flu season is shaping up this year compared to last year.
So the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services publishes a weekly surveillance report for the flu, and it is showing that the flu activity remains high across the entire state of Missouri. The state of Missouri is in the very high category right now, as are several of our other bordering states. It seems like the flu season has arrived a bit early this year, seeing several positive flu reports here in Harrison County. We're still early in the season, so it's kind of hard to tell what's going to happen, but it's looking like the season is more similar to what we would have expected pre-pandemic. The age group that seems to be getting hit the hardest is the 5 to 14-year-olds. In the last couple weeks, this age group has accounted for the most cases that we've seen. It is highly recommended that school-age kiddos get their flu shot, and it's also extremely important that parents are monitoring their kids for flu-like symptoms and keeping them home if they're sick.
It seemed like we heard a lot about the school already having a lot of kids out. That did seem really early for this time of year.
Yes. School nurses have actually reported that, you know, that there's several kids that are sick and that it seems to be spreading within the classroom.
A lot of people seem like they have some hesitancy about, you know, younger children getting the flu shot. We usually think about, you know, older people, make sure they get it, and if you're going to be out, you know, working. But you say it is important for children to get it as well.
Absolutely. Especially we know that littler kids aren't as well about practicing mitigation strategies like covering their mouths when they cough and sneeze. And in a classroom setting, there's a lot of kids in a relatively small area to where that, you know, the flu is a lot easier to be spread in areas like that. So we definitely do recommend that anyone actually 6 months and older is recommended to get the flu shot, according to the CDC.
And we always want to make sure that people at higher risk also know, you know, what's out there as far as flu shots and other mitigation strategies. So who is at most risk for complications associated with the flu?
So people that get the flu generally will recover in a few days, but we do have that population that is at higher risk to develop complications, and some of those complications can even be life-threatening. Those that are at the highest risk for contracting the flu are generally those with weakened immune systems or those with immune systems that are not quite fully developed yet. So these people generally include like older adults, 65 and older, most indefinitely, people that are pregnant because they're, you know, their body is working on growing another human, so they are at high risk as well. Young children, generally 5 and under, and then those with chronic health conditions, it's extremely important for them to be cautious because a lot of times any type of sickness, especially the flu, can kind of exacerbate those symptoms that they would generally have for these diseases that they cope with every day.
So other than getting the flu shot, what are some other precautions that people should be taking?
Yeah, sure. So I'll go ahead and talk about the flu vaccine first. It's definitely recommended that everyone should get the annual flu vaccine that is eligible. The flu shot is the best way to reduce the risk from flu, and it is potentially, the flu does have potential serious complications, and this is the best way to protect against those. Flu vaccines have actually been shown to reduce the risk of having to go to the doctor due to the flu by 40-60%. So that I feel like that's a pretty good percentage. There is sufficient data out there showing that flu vaccines can be life-saving, keep people out of the hospitals. We are still providing flu shots here at the health department. We prefer to do flu shots on Thursdays from 8 to 4 as our business hours, and we do prefer that appointments are scheduled just so that we can be sure that we have adequate supply. And it's not too late to get your flu shot. As long as flu viruses are spreading, it's still beneficial to get the flu vaccine. So if anyone has questions or concerns regarding the flu shot, you can always give our office a call. As far as other precautions that can be taken, avoiding people who are sick is important. You know, if you're sick, we obviously suggest you stay home. That's one of the best ways to reduce the spread of illness. general guidance states that you should be fever-free for at least 24 hours without using fever-reducing medication like Tylenol, ibuprofen, etc., before going out and about, except, you know, if you were going out to get medical care or other necessities. Influenza does spread through droplets that come from the nose, mouth, when infected people cough, sneeze, talk, anything that involves sputum. We do recommend that people avoid touching their eyes, nose, and face, just because if you're going along and you touch a contaminated surface and then touch one of those areas, it's a lot easier for you to contract the illness. And then the most extremely important way to protect yourself is hand hygiene. Just simply washing your hands can keep you much more healthy and a lot less at risk. And if soap and water aren't available, then we obviously suggest using hand sanitizer.
And if you're like me, a lot of times you might wake up and feel like, man, I don't really feel that great today, but I'm not really sure I have the flu. So what are some of the other symptoms that you should be looking for?
Flu symptoms normally come on pretty fast. The most common flu symptoms are fever, cough, and sore throat. As we know, there's a lot of other illnesses and stuff circulating right now that you can also have these symptoms. But the general rule is if you have a fever, which is generally over 100 degrees Fahrenheit, that you should be staying home at least until you're fever-free for 24 hours, like I had previously said. People might also report runny or stuffy nose, you know, feeling kind of achy, muscle, body aches, headache, and then just the general feeling of being tired.
When should they seek treatment once they, you know, feel those symptoms coming on?
So not all people with the flu need medical care necessarily. There are certain symptoms that people should seek emergency care for, you know, and those would be like difficulty breathing, chest pain, dizziness, confusion, severe pain, worsening cough or fever. But like I said, most people with the flu have just a mild illness and they can recover with just over-the-counter medications. And if you do get sick with flu symptoms, in most cases, you should stay home, avoid contact with other people unless you're seeking medical care. If at any time our patients have or people in the community have questions or concerns, we always do recommend that they contact their healthcare provider, especially if you're part of a high-risk group like we talked about earlier. You know, contacting your healthcare provider for further instructions is that's always what we recommend. Physicians, you might ask that you make an appointment to be seen just so they can kind of check everything out. They might suggest certain medications that you can buy at a pharmacy over the counter that might help treat your symptoms, or they can even prescribe you a certain medication regimen based on your symptoms and how your body's reacting to the flu.
So do we have any projections as far as what can we look forward to, or I guess not look forward to, but what can we expect as far as, you know, is it going to get worse as we get later into the season, or what are we looking at?
Generally, we do see a peak in flu cases during December and January. I really think that, personally, you know, this just has a lot to do with people that are meeting up for the holidays. This is when everyone's spending time with their friends and family. They have time off of work, off of school, and, you know, people are generally inside. You know, that the flu can circulate much easier in an enclosed, smaller area. Like I said earlier, you know, we're still really early in the season, so it's hard to predict what's going to happen. But based on how things are moving now, we do expect a flu season, you know, much like we would have experienced before the COVID pandemic. We are just recommending that everyone takes precautions as they should. And if anyone has questions or concerns, you can always reach out to us.
What is your information, or what's your phone number, or how do they get a hold of you at the health department?
So our phone number is 660-425-6324, and we actually have three public health nurses here that are available to talk to Monday through Friday, 8 to 4. If you have questions after hours, you can always give us a call and leave us a voicemail, and we'll be happy to return your call.
And we've been speaking with Bree Bennett from the Harris County Health Department. Thank you for your information today.
Thanks so much.
You are listening to the Northwest Mo Info Show here on Regional Radio. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll speak with some students from the Albany High School National Honor Society. Several members of the National Honor Society will be volunteering with the Albany Area Blood Drive coming up next week. Welcome back to the Northwest Mo Info Show. We continue to spotlight National Blood Donor Month this month. Several blood drives are taking place around the region, including one in Albany next week. And January is National Blood Donation Month. A couple of weeks ago, we had the Community Blood Center here talking about blood donation. And we actually have a couple students from the Albany High School to talk about the Albany Blood Drive that's coming up here this next week. So first of all, just have you introduce yourself to the listeners.
Hello, I'm Claire Mannering, and I'm a senior at Albany High School, and I'm the president of National Honor Society and the student body president.
Hello, I'm Vivian Laird. I'm also a senior from Albany High School. I am in cheer and track and also in NHS.
Like I said, you guys are kind of helping out with a blood drive. So first of all, just tell us about what you're doing around the school and around the community to kind of promote the blood drive.
Most of what we do is promotional stuff. We've been putting out flyers and signs. We've been trying to encourage students to donate blood, get their parents to donate blood as well.
Before we went on air, we kind of talked about, I guess you guys know what the need is for the blood, and you know, especially this time of year. We talked to the Community Blood Center a couple weeks ago, like I said, and they're talking about, you know, during winter time, a lot of people don't want to get out because it's cold, so there's less blood donations, but they still have that need. So what is your understanding? What's the need for the blood? And
it's helped for like adults and children if they're really needed in blood for like surgeries or anything like that. They can help transport blood to each other.
And I think you said something about, you know, as soon as the blood is donated, is it used immediately, seems like these days?
Yeah, they do say that there's quite a shortage. And like you said, especially in the winter months, whenever people don't want to get out because it's cold. So our goal is to collect 50 pints of blood so that we can help their cause and donate to others.
Now, you've worked blood drives before, both of you, right?
Yes.
So how long does it take, or how many people does it take to get those 50 pints?
It takes about 50 people to get the 50 pints. So we hope to get a pint of blood from every person that comes.
Now, do you usually have about 50 people average, or how many do you usually have attend?
Last year we had 46 pints of blood.
So if we get four more there, then we'll make it this year, right?
Yeah,
correct.
So tell us a little bit about the blood drive that's coming up. Where's it at, and what can people expect when they sign up and go there?
It's at the Albany Community Center on January 19th. It's at 200 West Rickney.
It's from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m., and you can donate if you're 16 years old with parent permission. And everybody that donates blood will be getting a free Kansas City Chiefs t-shirt.
And how do people go along to make a registration or make an appointment so they can go on and make sure they have a time slot ready for them?
You can call at 1-800-688-0900.
Yeah, and I think there's also a website to Save a Life Now, right? And do you have a group code that you can put in there to make sure that people get the right blood drive?
Our group code is MY, my.
Okay, so again, that's SaveAlifeNow.org and group code MY.
And you can call the school for, it's 660-726-3911, extension 132.
And something I didn't realize is you talked about actually 16-year-olds with the parents' permission can donate blood as well. I didn't realize you could do that. So is this something you pushed at the school trying to get students to go on and do the blood donations?
Yeah, we do, because I think that if you get involved whenever you're younger, then you're more likely to keep donating. So we try to reward the students who either donate blood themselves or have at least two members of their family donate by getting them a soft drink to drink throughout the day. So we really try to push that and encourage that so that people can give back to their community.
Do you both work at the blood drive as well when it comes to town?
Yes. Yeah. We all the NHS members work volunteer shifts for about an hour, just supervising the people that come in to donate and handing out refreshments and t-shirts.
Have you donated blood in the past?
I have, yes.
Tell me what that's like, because I never have, and I should. I know that, but what's it like to donate?
It's not as bad as you think it is. It doesn't take as long. It takes about 10 minutes, and we drink lots of water before we get dizzy.
Maybe people like me is a little leery of those needles. Does it hurt at all, or is it, I mean, it seems kind of scary. They're going to poke you and leave that needle in there. So what's that like?
There's a small pinch, but other than that, it doesn't hurt.
I'm pretty sure the ones that do it they do it every day, so I'm sure they're used to it, so that, you know, that makes it sort of doesn't hurt that bad. Let's talk a little bit about National Honor Society. What do you guys do during the school year, and how many members do you have? Just tell us a little bit about your organization.
So we have just short of 20 members, and the National Honor Society is very community service oriented. So we've participated in multiple community service activities. We host a senior citizen night. We host these blood drives. We do an adopt a family around Christmas time. We just help at our community parks, picking up trash, things like that. And then on top of that stuff that we do together as a group, each member has to have 40 individual hours of community service to stay in the group. So those are just some things that we do to support that.
So what are some other community service things that you both have done?
We do cadet teaching. So like we go to the elementary school and we help out teachers around their classroom and helping the children.
I also cadet teach. And then on top of that, I help community members with like some lawn care or picking up sticks if they need it. We've had some members who help clean gutters and do outdoor service like that. People also do like indoor cleaning or like helping promote other events that we do.
It's good to hear that you're active and actually work in the community. I do want to thank you for coming on here this morning and tell us about the National Honor Society and tell us about the Albany Blood Drive. One more time, remind us when the Albany Blood Drive is and how do we register for that?
So the Albany Blood Drive is Thursday, January 19th from 12 to 6 p.m. and that's at the Albany Community Center, 200 West Rigney Street. National Honor Society is sponsoring that. You can register at savealifenow.org/group, enter the group code MY, or you can call the Albany High School at 660-726-3911. The extension is 132, or you can email our sponsor at dpaul@albany.k12.mo.us.
Okay, we want to make sure that people do realize, once again, that you do get a free Chiefs t-shirt if you go to this blood drive, right?
Yes, and it is very sweet looking.
Okay, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Make sure to be back here on Original Radio each Saturday at 8:30 to hear the Northwest Mo Info Show. If you missed the show, want to share it with friends or family, or want to hear it again, you can check out all of the shows in podcast form on northwestmoinfo.com. Next week, we'll be visiting with Tyler Schwartz about the Missouri Wetlands Summit, and we'll be speaking with members of the Green Hills Animal Shelter to talk about wintertime pet care. For the Northwest Mo Info Show, this is Rick Turner. Thanks for joining us this morning.